Our scripture today is found in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. And Abuena King will be reading our scripture for this morning.
Jesus has risen.
Amen. Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. As we consider a subject for this text this morning, given the circumstances we've just heard, let us consider living and loving courageously. Living and loving courageously. I think a lot of people take life for granted. When I was young, at least, and maybe when we were all young, we believed we were invincible and did a lot of things with life that bordered on either insanity or stupidity, often unable to tell the difference between the two. And those stupid things we did, they don't so much represent taking a healthy risk with life, so much as it represented taking an unhealthy risk with death. We don't realize that what we did was stupid until later when we ask ourselves that question, what in the world was I thinking? I must have been out of my mind. And as we age, we take life a little less for granted. And as we do that, because we take life a little less for granted, it sometimes represents our willingness to protect and prolong life rather than our desire to truly live. In either case, the boulevard to real living leads us to that intersection where the stop sign of fear is posted, warning us not to proceed. But that is not what God has intended for us. God would have us living neither so recklessly that our living displays a wanton disregard for life, nor would God have us living so cautiously that we display a response to life that is too timid. I think God is inviting us to put aside those feelings of fear and trepidation that keep us from living and go for the very things that Jesus died for, our lives. We join our text on a Sunday morning. Jesus has been dead now for 3 days. The elite in the community seem to have been successful in killing Jesus, their despised opponent and critic. The word of those who had followed him had turned to darkness and fear. Both Mary Magdalene and the other Mary had witnessed his death. They didn't come to anoint his body. They came to look at the tomb. That's what the text says. They came to look at the tomb. In that day and age, it's a risky thing to associate with a crucified person, but they wanted to know, to see for themselves if Jesus' teachings about being raised on the third day were true, or was it just so much pie in the sky? They come to see, perhaps even to encounter the risen Jesus, but as they approached, there was a violent earthquake accompanied by the presence of an angel of the Lord going to the tomb to roll back the stone and sit on it. The guards were so overcome with fear at what was happening that they weren't alone in their fear. They acted like dead men, frozen, stiff. But again, they weren't alone in their fear. The women were afraid too. The angel tries to put them at ease by telling them not to be afraid, because the angel knew they were looking for Jesus. And despite the exciting news that he wasn't there and the commandment to first come and see where he lay, and then to become the first preachers of the good news, women, the first preachers of the good news of the resurrection of our Christ. Our text says, so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy. And they ran to tell the disciples. But before they could get there, they run into the very person they came to see. They encounter the risen Christ, who once again tells them, do not be afraid. And confirming what the angel had said, that he was going to Galilee where they would all hook up. Now that would seem to be the end of our story. It's certainly the end of our text for today, but this is a story that is crowded in fear. The soldiers were afraid. The women were afraid. And perhaps they were justified. I mean, when the earth starts moving and you have no place to go, what happens next leaves you at the mercy of your God. And not everyone has the experience of seeing an angel break through the heavenly realm like a bolt of lightning and suddenly appear with enough power to roll a stone away from a grave entrance. Perhaps their fear was a natural thing, but they were told not once, but twice, do not be afraid. And yet there's something blocking us. Something blocking us from the very things that God is trying to tell us. But therein lies part of the problem. You see, brothers and sisters, we have led ourselves to believe that the story of Easter Sunday morning is only a story about the resurrection of Jesus and his life. But that couldn't be further from the truth. The story we hear today is not just about the resurrection of Jesus, but about God's gift of life and the resurrection of us. God's gift of life to us is an invitation to move beyond that which strips us of life, beyond that which cripples us and prevents us from having the life that God promises. You see, brothers and sisters, we can't begin to live unless and until we get a handle on what it is that keeps us from life and living and life and loving. And that is our fear. You see, brothers and sisters, fear should not keep us from living, but it does. And that's where reality steps in. It steps in because so much of our lives are surrounded by fear. And it starts early in our lives. We're told by psychologists that by the time we're 5 years old, we've heard words of discouragement at least 100 times a day compared to only 20 to 30 times a day for words of encouragement. We're told that we can't do this and we can't do that. Stop this and stop that. Don't put that in your mouth. And don't play with that. Don't play with them. And the list goes on and on. By the time we're old enough to go ahead and live, fear has handcuffed us to the illusion that we can't do anything. We start believing that we can't swim, we can't skate, and we can't make friends, and we can't talk in front of people. We start believing so strongly in our limitations that our world begins to shrink proportionately. We start believing that we can't speak publicly, so we don't even try. We start believing that we can't be what we want to be, so we don't even try. We start believing that we aren't as good as, or as talented as, or as beautiful as, or as intelligent as, or as lovable as, or as capable as other people. So we don't even try the things that give us life. It's like pulling hen's teeth to get us to try. There's a movie called Phoebe in Wonderland. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Mrs. Dodger is the dramatic arts teacher, and she's trying to get her young thespians to come out of their proverbial shells and just do this one play that they are going to be doing for their school. And they've been locked into a shell of non-performers because they don't seem to know what it is Mrs. Dodger wants them to do. But Mrs. Dodger knows. And she's trying to get them to actually take a risk living their characters instead of memorizing their lines. She tries everything to describe the terrifying, life-threatening situation that they find themselves in to get these elementary school children to live the part. And after several minutes of frustration and explaining to them that outside of the door, someone is coming to cut your head off. Outside in the hallway, they're coming to take your literal life. The children look at her like a deer caught in the headlights. And finally, after several minutes of frustration, she says, "Bring this scene in next week, and I want you to see the terror of the last moments of your life. Take risk. Jump." She says, "Take risk. Jump. Have the courage to live." If inviting children to have the courage to live is not too big a thing to ask of children, how much smaller a thing can it be for those of us who are children of God, who believe in the resurrection and know the risen Savior? And yet it seems that fear has us captive. Just look at the women that approached the tomb. In fact, just look at everyone named in our text today and in all the days preceding and following our text today. Both Marys were afraid. The guards were afraid. Peter was afraid. The disciples were afraid. The thieves on the cross were afraid. We're afraid. Everybody seems to be afraid in a way that cuts life up and cuts life down and cuts life short and cuts life out. In short, the fear of living and loving is ruining our lives. But a life of fear is not the life that God has planned for us. It's not the life that God has called us to. I can assure you, brothers and sisters, that God didn't plan a life for us that is shrouded in fear. The Word of God reminds us that Jesus came that we might have life and have it abundantly. The Word of God reminds us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. That is the life God has promised to us. God promised us life so we could stand on the promises of Christ, our King. Through eternal days, let His presence ring. God promised us life so that we could move out of the shadows of fear and into the glorious light of faith in Jesus Christ. God promises us life so that we would have the courage to live and the courage to love courageously. In Marianne Williamson's book, A Return to Love, she made a powerful observation that has been quoted in movies and by talk show hosts who found it intriguing. She says in her book, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant or gorgeous or talented or fabulous? Actually, who are we not to be? You are a child of God, and your playing small does not serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. And that shouldn't be news to us. Jesus told us, and we learned early on, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And for a moment, turn to somebody and say, for a moment, we took that to heart, and someone made up a song about it, and we learned that song early in our childhood and sang, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. But somewhere along the way, fear crept in, bringing with it its old friend doubt. And we drifted into the shadows of doubt with its constant drumming and humming, whispering words of fear and discouragement, preventing us from allowing the glory of God to shine in our lives. And if fear is what is blocking us from reflecting the glory of God, then how much more should the radiant light of the resurrection of our lives in Jesus Christ emphasize that we were born to make manifest the glory of God within us, and that as we let our light shine, we give others permission to do the same. We actually develop by and through the power of the risen Christ within us the courage to live and the courage to love fearlessly. So beyond the fact that today we gather to celebrate the triumphant power of God over death and rejoice in the remarkable resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, beyond the joyful elation of Resurrection Day is the remarkable reality that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we no longer have to fear living courageously and loving abundantly. Because God has overcome the power of death through Jesus Christ, God has unleashed in us the power to overcome the illusion of fear that is keeping us from living and loving courageously. And that's the good news today. Because today our challenge to have the courage to live and love without being shackled by fear is met by the victory of Jesus Christ over death. Today, whatever challenges or fear it is that stops us are rolled away by our faith in the rise of Christ to start living courageously and are overcome by Jesus' resurrection from the grave. God has called us together as an Easter people to celebrate the victory of a powerful new life in Christ Jesus and to live that life in victory without being stopped by fear, the fear of living and loving courageously. You see, brothers and sisters, our resurrection story doesn't just encourage us to live. It encourages us to live a new life in which we overcome our fear with faith rather than being overcome by it. It announces the annihilation of anxiety by the prevailing and predominant power of God. We have no idea what we may become until our fear is crushed by the power of our faith in God. We have no idea the mountains that can be moved until our fears are unfrozen by the radiant heat of our faith. We have no idea how the world can be changed until we move from beneath the umbrella of our fear and start living in the bright shining light of our faith in the power of God. God didn't roll the stone away so that Jesus could get out. God rolled the stone away so that we could see in. God rolled the stone away so that we would know that we don't have to be trapped behind the boulder of fear and unknowing. And the same God that overcame the death of Jesus in the tomb is encouraging us to have the courage to live in spite of our fears. The same God that raised Christ to new life is the same God commanding us to go forward past fear of an uncertain future to meet the assured victories of the risen Christ that are waiting for us. Jesus is waiting for us to meet him at the point of victory. And Jesus promises to meet us where our fear ends and our courageous new life of love begins. So go ahead and live, church. Go ahead and live, brothers and sisters. Go ahead and live and go ahead and love. And yes, that means there are some things we have to do to live this new life that God gives us. We'll have to stop and obey God. We'll have to stop and worship God. We'll have to stop and recognize the power of God because that is where life begins. Because where our fears have weakened us, the power of God has strengthened us. Where our fear has knocked us down, the power of God has raised us up. Where our fears have discouraged us, the power of God has encouraged us. It is the power of God that says, have the courage and the faith to live and to love anyway, despite your fears. So go ahead and have the courage to live and love courageously. And when we do, life will belong to us. It will be ours. It's already ours. Christ has given it to us to possess for our very own. So let's praise our God. Give praise to God who has overcome fear and death to offer us life and the power of life and love. Courageously in Jesus' name. That's the word of God for the people of God today.